I'd like to preach this morning out of John chapter 16. If you turn to John chapter 16, and to start, I'd just like to almost take a verse out of context to start. I know you're not supposed to do that, but I'll put it back in context here in just a minute. John chapter 16 and verse number 33. And I'd like to read John 16:33, and after that I'll open in prayer and ask the Lord to bless the morning service and the preaching of His Word. John chapter 16 and verse 33 says this: "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for your blessings to us. Lord, I thank you for your protection. Thank you, Lord, for all the good things you've given us. Lord, mostly we thank you for your salvation, Lord, and we realize in this passage, Lord, you're about to go to the cross and pay the price for our sin. Lord, we are just thank you, Lord, we praise your name for saving us, for paying the price for our sin, Lord, and I just thank you for that. And I thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your patience with us. And Lord, I just ask you to bless each and every family that's here this morning, Lord, and thank you for their faithfulness, and thank you, Lord, that they're not doing something else today, Lord, but they're here in your house and waiting to hear your word. I thank you for that, Father. I just pray you'd bless each and every one of us, and Lord, those that aren't here, Lord, I pray you bring them back tonight and Wednesday and the next following Sundays. Lord, bless the service this morning. Bless as we preach your word, Lord, that you touch hearts, that you just give me the words to say that I could be an encouragement and a blessing, Father, as we're here this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Here, if you take this verse and you just look at it, it's an encouraging verse. It's a good verse and has a great message that we're going to have problems and tribulations, but we can still be of good cheer. And if you put it back in the context, you look at what's happening around here, we know that Jesus is addressing the disciples. And he's saying, we're going to have in the future real problems. You're going to be scattered. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to have real and genuine tribulation. And Jesus is saying, but in spite of that, I want you to be of good cheer. And we can try to apply this to our lives today and say, okay, Christians, you're going to have tribulations. And nowadays, what do we call tribulations? I stubbed my toe. I mean, I don't know. I know we have real problems today, and I'm not trying to say we don't, but sometimes as Christians today, we think, oh man, I have a toothache, and this is such a tribulation that I have this tooth that hurts. And I say that because I have a tooth that hurts right now. And I'm suffering most in that I cannot eat ice cream. And that's the worst part of this, is every time I eat ice cream, it just gives me this unbearable pain. And for me, that's a tribulation, not to be able to eat ice cream. And I am really suffering. I'm kidding. That's a joke. You can all can laugh about that. Everyone that knows me knows that I almost live on ice cream. I have to have it 3 times a day. And it's almost part of my eating regimen that I eat dessert 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And my wife always tells me, you got to quit eating so much ice cream. Well, this is the answer to her prayer, because when I eat ice cream, my whole mouth just erupts into unbearable pain because I've got this sensitive tooth that's bothering me. But that's not the kind of tribulation that Jesus is speaking about in this passage here. He's telling the disciples, you are going to be persecuted beyond what you've ever seen probably in their lives. And he's saying, in spite of all this, I want you to be of good cheer. And this morning I'd like to preach on being a joyful Christian. Being a Christian that has true, godly, spiritual joy. And if you're like me, if you're like most people, that joy can be taken away just with the simplest things. Just with the smallest of problems, and just with the smallest of irritations, we lose our joy. And I'll tell you what, when we travel, sometimes we have problems with our vehicle. And there's no other missionaries here, but there are people here that travel a lot. And we're driving down the road recently in our van. I have a Ford van out there. And we were driving down the road a couple weeks ago, and all of a sudden, smoke started coming out of the dashboard. And I know it's not supposed to do that. And since I'm not a smoker, and Sarah doesn't smoke either, we don't use the cigarette lighter or anything, I knew that there was something wrong. And so I was in the fast lane on an 8-lane highway, and I crossed all 4 lanes of traffic in record time. and pulled over on the right side there and told everybody, the van's on fire, get out everybody. So Sarah drug all the kids out and they're standing in the ditch and the dash is smoking. And I realized, and it was 110 degrees that day, or close to that. And the switch on the air conditioner melted off in my hand. And what happened was our switch just overheated and short-circuited or whatever, and all that was smoking was just the switch. I pulled it off, and we turned the air down lower. We couldn't have it off, but we turned it down low and just hoped for the best and went on the road again. And for the next several hours, I can just tell you, I was just irritated. I lost all my joy and all. I think before we were having a good time, we were singing and we were listening to tapes and Patch the Pirate, having a good time traveling on the road. And all of that went out the window when my switch melted off in my hand. I was just irritated. And for 2 hours, I just drove down the road just mad at the world because. Anybody ever been there before? Probably never one here has ever done that. But let me tell you, I lost my joy because a switch fell off my dashboard. And after a couple hours, I was sitting there mad. I was thinking, now why am I mad again? Oh yeah, my switch. That's what it was. I'm mad about the switch. And I thought, you know what, this is just silly to sit here and fume and be angry and bark at the kids and be mad over a switch. I thought, this is just crazy. What am I doing? I just decided I'm going to get over it, just going to go on with life. And we got home a couple hours, I don't know, when we got a couple days later or something, I don't remember. It doesn't matter. I went to the junkyard, and for $40, I bought the whole unit, and I had put it into 15 minutes. Problem solved. What's my point? Was it really worth losing my joy and getting mad and throwing a temper tantrum and yelling at the kids? As Christians, we tend to lose our joy way too easy. And if you look at this passage and some verses before and some verses after, we can see that Jesus really wants us to be joyful Christians. He really wants us to be joyful day after day in spite of the problems and the tribulations that come up in our lives. And this morning I want to challenge you that we are joyful Christians, that we have a joy that abides in our heart and our soul day in and day out in spite of the little troubles and tribulations that come our way. And I'd like to look at, John chapter 15 and verse 11. How can we maintain and have this joy in our lives? And I don't know if when I was a new Christian, I went to Bible college, just a new Christian, brand new. I was just saved for several months. And I got there at Bible college, and a pastor would get up, or some preacher, and he would say, I'm going to tell you something that'll just solve everything in your life. And I'd have my pen ready, and I was ready to have all my problems solved. This is just, you write this down, because this will just fix everything. And I'd have my, and at the end of the sermon, I didn't ever get what the fix-all was. I didn't quite get it. I somehow missed the, and I was a tenth, and I was writing things down, and that was like every other sermon I've heard, pretty much. I was a new Christian. They all sounded the same to me. And so they would say, this is how to do this, and this is how to do that, and you need to do this, and I didn't know what any of these things meant. So this morning, I like in my preaching, in fact, when we preach to Peruvians, we have to make it just practical. Amen? Just practical. How can we apply this to our lives? Well, let's look at John chapter 15 and verse 11. Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. What's almost this entire chapter dealing with in John chapter 15? Abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. And how can we put that in just real simple terms? Walking with the Lord, being with Him. Just being there with Him, being in His presence, inviting Him into your life. And if you're a Christian this morning, that is something that takes some effort on our parts, right? It doesn't just happen automatically. Oh, I'm saved, I'm a child of God, and no matter what I do, no matter where I go, Jesus is going to be there. Yeah, we're saved and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, but if we're truly going to abide in Christ, if we're truly going to have this joy that the Bible speaks of, it is necessary that we put our part in. that we do our part, that we're willing to say, you know what, I am going to abide in Christ. That means I've got to do a couple things. I've got to be in the Word of God. I've got to be reading this book. Well, it doesn't get any simpler than that to say, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to, on a daily basis, be in the Word of God, and I'm going to say, maybe you're starting out, maybe you're like I was, a new Christian. Start by reading a proverb a day. That'll put you light years ahead in your Christian life by reading a proverb a day. Maybe you're a more mature Christian. You want to read the Bible through in a year. I think that's what, 6 chapters a day to read the Bible through in a year? Maybe that's something you'd like to do. I want to read the Bible through in a year, and I want to be in the Word of God, but you've got to do it, and you've got to meditate on the Scriptures. Oh, that's just for Pastor Dietrich to do. I mean, that's not. I'm not the pastor. I don't have to do that. No, you do have to do that. You do need to be in the Word of God. You do need to meditate and think about the Scripture and apply it to your life. And here Jesus said, you will have joy, and that joy will stay with you if you abide with me. Well, to me, that's a powerful verse. What do we have to do to have joy stay in us? We have to abide with Christ. How much does Jesus want us to have joy? I think He wants us to have joy more than we can even imagine. Let's look at John chapter 17. This is the chapter that they call... This is truly the Lord's Prayer chapter. Amen? This is a chapter that really is the Lord's Prayer. It's not just the thing that all the other mainline denominations think is what the other one is, where Jesus was teaching them to pray. But this is truly a prayer between Jesus and the Heavenly Father. And I find it very interesting in what Jesus prays for in verse 13. Let's look at verse 13. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. That they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I'm not going to take time to do it right now, but if you read this whole chapter, he's clearly speaking about saved people, Christians, children of God. He's saying, I want, and he's praying to God on our behalf, saying, I want my people to have my joy in their lives. Is that just when things are going good? No, that's all the time. That's in spite of the tribulations. That's when we don't feel well. That's when things don't go well for us. I'd like to tell you a little story about what happened to us one morning in Peru. We were laying there in bed. I don't know, it was early in the morning, 5:30 or 5:45, and I heard this voice outside saying, Hermano Mateo! That's Brother Matt. That's my unofficial title, is Brother Matt there in Shaoya, where we live. And it was dark, and it was 40 degrees out, and it was, I think, the night after a late service we had, and we were laying there in bed, and I think I was awake, but I wasn't ready to get out of my warm covers yet. And I heard it again, Hermano Mateo! And I said, Sarah, somebody yelling at me? She said, yeah, they're out there yelling at you. And people yell at us all the time from the road. They need something. They yell over the fence. And so after several more yells, I got out of bed and I got mostly, shirt and jeans and put my shoes and I walked out there. And it's our little neighbor girl, Carmela. Did you remember seeing Carmela? She was the second to last picture with her brother Antonio. Well, Carmela is just a really precious girl to us. Sarah led her to the Lord on our front porch. They live right there, just 100 feet from our house, 200 feet maybe. And so I walk out there and I said, Carmela, what's going on? What's wrong? And she said, we need to borrow your chainsaw. Well, I thought there was going to be a death in the family, or somebody had gotten run over by a donkey, or they cut their leg off with a machete. I thought there was some terrible emergency that they had to get me out of bed and so early in the morning and everything. And for a second, it crossed my mind, I'm going to tell this bratty little girl, she better never get me out of bed in the morning again, unless it's an emergency. Just, there better be blood on the street if you wake me up again. This was going through my mind. I think the devil was whispering in my ear. I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, yeah, well, come on, let's get the chainsaw. And so we got it and put gas in it and put oil in it and cleaned it up and sharpened the chain. And for the next 3 hours, I cut trees with her Uncle Julio up there in the woods. And Uncle Julio wanted to cut some trees. So there we are, and we know all their family, and they're pretty close to us and things. And so, and I came back after 3 hours, and I was hot and tired and sweaty, and the sun had come up and hadn't eaten or drank anything. And I got down to the house, and I put the saw away, and I went inside, and I was overwhelmed with a feeling. I thought, oh no, whoops, I killed my microphone. I thought, oh no, how did I respond to Carmela? How did I respond to her? And I went back to what I was thinking, and I thought, oh yeah, that's right, I think I was pretty nice. I think I was pretty patient with her and nice to her, even though I didn't feel like being nice, really. And when I remembered that the Lord gave me grace and gave me patience with it, even though I felt kind of crummy and I was tired, I was just overcome with joy and thanksgiving that God allowed me at that moment to treat my little neighbor girl, a new Christian, one of our friends there, one of our church members, with kindness and patience. And you know what? It gives me just a sick feeling to think, what if I would have just told her off? I think we would have lost her. I really think it would have broken her little heart that the family that led her to the Lord, that introduced her to Christianity, would have acted that way toward her. And I praise the Lord today that God gave me grace. And I'm not praising myself at all. I wasn't feeling good. But by God's grace, we are able to show her that Christians can be joyful even in the morning, even when we don't feel good, even when we don't want to be. We can be truly joyful and patient and loving by God's grace. Is that because that was it within me? No, it was not within me. God gave me grace in that particular moment. Jesus wants us so much to be joyful that He prayed to the Heavenly Father on our behalf. Oh God, give them joy. And He tells us, if you abide in Me, I will give you joy. And He told the disciples, even when you have problems, I will give you joy. In the midst of everything, I will give you joy. And we get, I tell you what, in our life today, we get so worked up and we get so excited. I've just got to tell you a story about my wife and my mother-in-law. Forgive me, everyone. I got to tell you the story. I know the true story about the broken arm. I don't know what you all heard here. But we were there, a couple weeks ago, and Tom and Rosa were going to come over for dinner. And Sarah, you know how women are before company comes over? Just flash around the house and clean this and straighten that up. And Sarah was frantically mopping the floor and sweeping and running here and there and cleaning. And Sarah mopped and mopped and mopped. And then Mom Schrock came around the corner at a dead sprint with a big pot of green beans, hit that mop spot, and wham, hit the ground, landed on that shoulder. And Brother Joe and I were saying, why are we mopping the floor? Why are we cleaning? What are we doing here? It's just Tom and Rosa, right? I mean, they've seen a dirty house before. And so I always like to kind of tell Sarah, you know what? These are just people coming over. We don't have to go crazy and clean the house and go berserk because there's company coming over, right? So all you ladies take a lesson here. I think what we learned was clean the house after the company leaves, right? Not before. And so, you know, we tend to, and I use my wife and my mother-in-law because I know that they love me enough to forgive me for telling stories on them. But what can we learn from just our everyday life experiences? We get so worked up about things that really don't matter that much. If Tom and Rosa came over and they said, oh, this floor is filthy, I'm walking out the door, I'm not eating here. You kidding me? How come I eat when this floor is so dirty? Well, they would never do that. Nobody would ever do that. That's a true friend. Let's try as Christians to just say, I'm going to make the important things in my life the important things, and I'm going to be patient, and I'm going to walk with the Lord, I'm going to have joy, I'm going to treat other people with kindness and love in everything I do, and I believe God will bless us in ways that we maybe have never seen before. Maybe you'd say, oh, brother, man, I just don't have the joy I used to have. I just don't feel like I have the joy and the contentment in my heart like I once had. Well, there's a solution for that. Abide in me is what Jesus said. Am I good at that? Not always. But the reminder's there. He wants us so much to have joy, He prayed and asked us, and asked the Lord, asked God to give us joy. I heard a story about a man who won the lottery. And this fellow, his name was Bud Post. He won $16 million in the lottery. And what happened was, right away, his girlfriend sued him for half of it. And she won. And so he lost half the money, lost his girlfriend, and which might have been a blessing anyway. But next thing, his brother hired a hitman to kill him for the rest. This is what people do when money's involved, right? His brother hired a hitman to kill him for the other $8 million. Well, he didn't succeed, but after that, one family member after another came and said, Bud, give me some money. Bud, help me start this business. Help me buy a car. Give me this. Give me that. Loan me this. Loan me that. Until he ended up taking a shot at a bill collector, almost killed the man, went to prison, got out of prison, and found himself $1 million in debt. And what did Bud say about his whole experience? He said, I wish it had never happened. It was a total nightmare. Well, I like to tell that story because that's what the world looks for when they're looking for joy. In every case. Oh, I'd be so much happier if I just had a new car. And so what does the world do? They go and buy a brand new car. Are they happy? Well, for a couple minutes, you know, until it gets its first scratch, and then, oh, I've got a scratch in my new car. What does the world say about joy? Oh, I'd just be joyful if I had a bigger house and a better raise and a better job and more money and more things and things, money, stuff. And the world says, that will bring me joy. But that, I can tell to these Christians this morning, is a lie of the devil. If you're not happy and joyful now, you will not be happy and joyful in a bigger house. If you're not happy and joyful rejoicing in the Lord now in your old car, a new car won't help you any. What do we have to do as Christians? Get in the Word of God, study the Bible, take our burdens to the Lord in prayer. And I promise if you came to Pastor Fox or Pastor Dietrich and said, you know what, I feel like I'm lacking joy in my life. I'd like to serve the Lord here and there. I'm going to get involved in the church. I'd like to do something. Maybe there's someone that needs visited, someone that needs encouraged, there's some job that needs to be done here at the church. I promise you, they would rejoice with you if you went to them and said that. You would rejoice. They would rejoice. The Lord's name would be glorified all around. Work would get done. People would be encouraged. People would be visited. Souls would be saved. Maybe you say, oh, brother, man, I just don't have much joy. It could be that what's missing in your life is not a new car or a bigger house. What's missing in your life is service to the Lord. What's missing in our lives is really walking with the Lord. What's missing in our lives is, I think, genuine time in prayer. And the Lord knows my heart. I preach these things because this is probably my weakest point. I get frustrated, I get angry, I get irritated easily, and I lose my joy easily. Why? Because of these very things we're talking about right here. In Peru, I'm happiest, I am truly most joyful when I've got a pack of dogs chasing me up a mountain when I'm out visiting. And that happens all the time. We have dogs all over the place that love to bite people that run up and down the trails there. And I am happiest, and I have the most joy, and I feel the most closer to the Lord when I'm just out doing what the Lord's has told me to do. And I know it's the same with us. We are Christians, and I believe we're the same in these spiritual ways. We are happiest when we're truly and genuinely serving the Lord. I really think we'll be the most joyful when we're genuinely in the Word, studying the Bible, applying it to our lives. And so I've got lots of... Pastor Dietrich, what time y'all usually wrap up on the Sunday morning? Whenever. Okay, well, I won't be long, I promise. This won't take long. But you know what? There are also Let's look back at chapter 16 just for a second, and we'll wrap this up here real soon. Verse number 1 of chapter 16 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." When we should not be offended, what does this word offended really mean in this instance? Psalm 119, 165 uses the word offended also. "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Well, if you look into this a little deeper, if you look at the definitions of offended, to be irritated or made angry is definition number 8 or 9. The first several definitions are stumble, fall into sin, be enticed to sin, fall into some kind of a wickedness. Sometimes in our lives, what is causing us to lose our joy is that we are falling into some kind of a sin. It could be some secret sin that nobody knows about except for you. It could be something that only takes place in your mind, but that will cause us to lose our joy. Every single time it will cause us to lose our joy. Psalm 32:11 says this, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, who? Ye righteous, and shout for joy all ye that are upright in heart." The psalmist says, who's going to rejoice? Who is going to shout for joy? Those that are upright in heart. Those that are perfect? No. Nobody here is perfect. I'm not going to ask if anyone's perfect because inevitably someone will raise their hand. Usually, I'll say, anybody here perfect? Some guy raises his hand in the back. I think that's happened every time I've asked that. Nobody here is perfect. But those that are upright in heart, those that are doing what I'm talking about, doing your dead level best to be in the Word of God, take your burdens to the Lord in prayer, walk with God, keep sin out of your life, those people will have joy. Those people will live victorious lives. I read in the news that when people watch something traumatic, a scary movie, or they see some horrible thing happen, that it actually hurts us physically. It actually causes our heart to go into a depressed state. On the other hand, when somebody hears something funny, has a good old laugh, and just belts it out like it's really funny, It revives our blood vessels and causes our heart to pump more lively and actually is healthy for us. And so when you think about these things, it truly is not healthy to be an angry, depressed, irritated person. And you gotta love Brother Fox. I love telling Brother Fox a joke because he laughs at my jokes and he laughs heartily. And I'm gonna start bringing a whole bunch of jokes to tell when I come here, just so I can tell them to Brother Fox and laugh with him. Because when we laugh, I laugh loud, he laughs loud, we have a good time. And I wish I had brought some more of this, I forgot to bring him. But you got to love Brother Fox because he likes to laugh and he's a joyful person. He has a good hearty laugh. You got to love people like that, amen? And there's nothing worse than a pastor or a preacher getting up and telling a joke and everybody looks at him. And that was a joke. You all can laugh. That was supposed to be funny. And then by the time you have to announce it, well, it's lost all of its effect if you have to tell people to laugh. But you know what? I'm going to close with this idea that the Lord wants us so much to be joyful that the Lord thought it important enough to put in His high priestly prayer, His prayer from Him to the Father, "Oh Lord, oh God, make these people joyful." We're of no use as a Christian if we're not joyful. We're of no use to the Lord in your workplace if you're not joyful. You're of no use to those around you, to your neighbors, to your coworkers, if you're not joyful. My challenge to you this morning is that we determine to do these things, take these steps, that we can be joyful Christians, that we can be used of the Lord, that we can be putty in His hands, and that He can take us where He wants and allow us to influence those around us to be joyful.